Welcome to Talos Takes, the security podcast for everyone from the C-suite to the front lines.
Hello and welcome to Talos Takes. I'm Hazel Burton, stepping in for your regular host, John Munshaw, who lost his voice at a Taylor Swift concert, which I think if you're going to lose your voice, that's one of the best places to leave it. But my guest today is our fearless leader, Matt Baczynski, Vice President of Cisco Talos. And we're going to have a chat about mental health and sharing experiences relating to taking care of ourselves. So, Matt, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me, Hazel.
Now, I officially joined Talos about 4 weeks ago, which means that I now get access to the communications that you send to the whole team. And I think in the first newsletter I received, you wrote about change and understanding that there's a lot of things happening in the world. There's a lot of change happening in the world and in the industry, and talking about how, you know, we'll adapt and we'll overcome. That really gave me the idea of talking to you about what to do when things feel uncertain or overwhelming. You know, how can we balance ourselves to focus in whatever situation we find ourselves in and adapt and overcome? So I wanted to get your take on that. Do you have any experience in that area, and could you share that with us?
Sure. So when you're playing around on the edge of possible, which is pretty much what security is all about, you're always kind of pushing technologies to do things they're not supposed to do, looking for ways you can abuse technologies so that you can come up with new security solutions. You're sitting on this edge of deep uncertainty. Will it work? Can it work? Will this ever pan out? Will it create something? And so for me, it's really about making sure you have good short-term, medium-term, long-term goaling and a solid understanding of what each one of those things is going to produce so that you can make a decision tree as to whether or not you continue down a certain path or abandon a certain path. You also have that little dopamine win every time you accomplish something on that decision tree. And so if you put too many goals that are too far apart, you potentially never get there. And that can be very disappointing and disheartening. And so trying to avoid that in longer, complex projects is usually the way to go, because there will always be frustrations in that process. But trying to find the little wins to keep your motivation going is one of the tricks that I kind of go after.
Something you said I kind of really picked up on about making a decision. And I think what happens sometimes is that people lose a little bit of that realization that they are still in control and they still have a choice. You know, I think the first instinct that a lot of people have when it comes to change is to resist it. What I try and teach myself is to resist that resistance, give myself time to calibrate it, potentially talk it out, and then make a decision, a choice when it comes to that matter. And I don't mind sharing with you, I've had quite a day. I've had a day, and that process actually had to kick in today, because I found myself getting quite upset by something that was said in a group setting. So I was like, okay, and I call it the ABCs: awareness. I'm experiencing that emotion. Why am I experiencing that emotion? Breathing. The B, taking a second, giving myself a bit of space, and then C is the choice. I actually had a choice about how to react in that situation. I had a choice to continue, or I had a choice to take a step back. And I chose to continue, but I still had a choice at the end of the day. So all that to kind of reflect back on what you were saying is, when things feel out of your control, there's actually things that you can do to take that control back.
No, I mean, human beings love control. It's one of the things that I think most people kind of quest after, right? Being in control of your emotions, being in control of your life, being in control of the risk that you're encountering along the way. And so when you don't feel like you have control over the things that are happening in your life, I agree with you. It's time to step back and reassess as to what is going on and why do you feel that you're not in control? Because there could be a lot of reasons for it. It could be the way you're reacting to something. You know, you've read an email, you've added emotion to it that was not intentionally in there, but you're like, oh man, this, I really dislike this person on the other end of, you know, this email thing. And that emotion's really not there, right? That person just maybe made a very simplistic statement and you're reading a lot into it. And so being able to come back and reassess those things has a tendency to help you figure out like what direction to go in. And then that comes to the decision tree part. It's all about those short-term plans, in my opinion, because if you can't see what the next step is, very difficult to have a solid understanding of where you're going to go. And then you don't feel like you're in control.
Or catastrophizing is sometimes when I haven't spotted the sign early enough, I get into worst case scenario mode. And by that point, it's like, okay, I'm not responding to the situation, I'm reacting to it. And the events are driving me. I'm not, you know, I feel small in comparison.
When you walk into a stressful situation, if you're paying attention to your body, you normally have some level of physical reaction somewhere inside. Like a lot of people get that like anxiety in their stomach, somewhere in their chest, and it just kind of feels anxious-y. And so you know you're in some type of stressful situation. Being able to recognize those markers as you're going into it gives you opportunity to course correct where your head's at. And paying attention to those things is important to coming up with a good outcome. So like when we go back to the start of the conflict in Ukraine, Talos had a bunch of people in country. Cisco had a bunch of people in country. Cisco also had a bunch of people in Russia as well. And all of a sudden there's bombs falling and things are getting blown up. Buildings are falling down. And you still have a responsibility for all of those people in that country and all of the people who work for you and all of the things that need to happen. To keep things up and operational and get those people to as the safest place as possible. So like the wheels of business must continue on. You can't just stand there and, you know, watch the shock and awe of what's happening. Being able to kind of step back, calm yourself and say, all right, what's the next logical step? You know, we need to tell people where to go. We need to come up with contingency plans for all the things that we didn't expect. And start focusing in on those tactical action items and moving them forward. That's progress. And then that's a way to get rid of a lot of that anxiety.
I remember you talking about an aspect of that for documentary on Ukraine released earlier this year. And I asked you about, you know, how you find that clarity in those situations. And you talked about your team. You know, a failing to build your team means that you won't be able to deal with the situation correctly. I wondered if you could kind of expand on that and how you talk to your team about mental health and encouraging conversations.
So I'll answer that in kind of two ways, because the question that you proposed then was like, how do you build your team so that you have the things that you need for these stressful situations? And so I have a kind of a funny belief, which is I don't believe I'm very smart. I think I can find a lot of smarter people than myself. But what I am very good at is understanding what I don't know. And I go out and I find experts in all of the areas of the things that I don't know how work. And I surround myself with those people so that I have all of the right folks when terrible things happen to be able to go to and get recommendations. So my skill then becomes trying to figure out how I weld all of those expert opinions into a final set of outcomes that then drives down. To answer kind of the second part, like how does that translate into mental health? A lot of it comes down to that control and risk, right? So if you get some of these really smart people, the only way you can get smart at something is to be very focused at it. So normally you don't run into people who are like super smart in multiple large disciplines. You know, you're not running into a doctor who is both a wizard at surgery and a wizard in the lab and wizard in diagnostic medication, you know, all the stuff. You're only finding a doctor that's like a wizard at surgery. And so you tell those people that they need to be responsible for the thing that they're best at and allow them to grow and thrive in that area. I'm not saying limit their opportunities or anything, but they understand that they're responsible and accountable for this lane. And so they don't have to worry about 50 other things that are ancillary to what's going on. And then you as a leader have to figure out how to correctly line up all of those pieces in an assembly line to get to the best outcome. And then along the way, you also have to let everybody know what you're doing. Because you go to an expert and they tell you no, right? They tell you don't do that. And then you get to the end of the line and you're like, and you do it, right? Because you've learned a bunch of other stuff along the way. If you're not keeping everybody in the loop as to how your thought process progressed and how you got there, people are going to feel like their opinion wasn't valued. And so you have to be able to have those conversations along the way to explain where you're going with things.
Yeah, having that openness and creating that safe space so that people can be honest and authentic with you rather than high stuffing me, I guess.
Right. You know, you definitely don't want people hiding stuff from you, right?
Yeah.
But you also don't want their opinion to be not valued, right? Because you may go talk to an expert and they tell you something, and then the situation changes and it was no longer there, it's no longer in their lane. Right. So they've told you no, but now the problem is not the same problem that you proposed to them in the beginning because you've learned something. But you're now taking a completely opposite approach to how your conversation went with your expert. And so you got to come back and give them the context as to how you got there. Because now that everybody's remote, nobody's in an office anymore, you're not going to have that water cooler discussion where somebody might learn that piece of information along the way. So you have to. You have to like get disciplined about telling people about your decision-making process and how you got there.
Yeah, and that helps the reaction process that we were talking about earlier. How do you react to change? When the more context you have, the easier it is to respond in the way that you would want to.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the one of the last topics I wanted to chat with you about, to maybe state the obvious, security, the industry, always on high stakes, high pressure. And so, I mean, in other industries and, you know, people kind of consider themselves as the last priority when it comes to self-care. And I was wondering what your take or your experience is on practicing self-care when everything around you is telling you that you're not the priority right now. You know, that you've got this alert going off here. You've got this high pressure situation going off here. How, you know, do you have any thing that you'd like to talk about in that aspect?
I guess I have like a glass half empty statement every once in a while on that one, which is the work will always be there. It's never going away. I used to tell my people many years ago, and I always thought it was motivational, but some people tell me it's, you know, depressing, is that when you're going up against a human adversary, especially in security, the best day is a tie because the attacker gets an unlimited number of chances to attack you, and you only get a limited number of swings at the pitches they're throwing. And so eventually you're going to lose, and you have to be okay with that. If you're in this industry because you think you're going to win every day and your ego and life and purpose is dependent on that, you are in the exact wrong industry because you're going to have good days and bad days. When it comes to just kind of like, you have to be prepared for that when you come into this industry. Somebody will figure out how to break your code. Somebody will figure out how to get around your protection mechanism. Somebody will figure out how to do something neat and cool that you've never thought of. Because there's plenty of smart people in the world. You have to be okay with that at the start. But the other part of that too is the work is always going to be there. Just because you got 10,000 alerts today doesn't mean you're not going to get 10,000 alerts tomorrow or 10,000 alerts the next day that you got to go through for, you know, SOC analysts or whatever. Stepping away from it for 24 hours, 72 hours, taking a week off, you know, going to focus on yourself, it'll still be there when you get back. So you're not missing anything. You know, the people and the team that you rely upon are going to be there doing their work. And you're never going to dig that hole deep enough to take all the stuff away. So the worst you can do is burn yourself out, and then you're not useful anymore at all.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, it's accepting a weird mentality where you're going to show up to work and just be like, I'm going to lose as little as possible today.
Exactly.
Or failing that, going out and swinging an axe, which I think is a story you told before about how you do something simple and physical to distract yourself. And yeah, swinging an axe is something I haven't tried, but Maybe for the Talos barbecue.
Yeah, no, I mean, physical activity always clears your mind, right? Because it forces your body to focus on an additional task. You know, I find the more complicated that physical activity can be, the easier it is to clear your mind. If you just go for a run, it's pretty easy just to continue to focus on your problem, because running's not an overly complicated thing. But you do something a little bit more complicated, swing a baseball bat, axe, do something that's like requires you to mentally focus on the activity that you're doing, then you can exit the mental state that you're in.
Absolutely. Yeah. Stopping it before it gets into the overwhelming state. Absolutely. Matt, before I close, is there anything that you would like to talk about that I haven't asked you about?
You know, I think the only other kind of thing that's on my mind is the change aspect that we talked about. This is pretty much the whole world is changing right now. So you've got a war going on. We've got AI happening. You've got an economy across the globe that's changing. You have a number of political situations everywhere that are moving in different directions. And you kind of have this weird like deglobalization going on. And so if anybody's been around for 40 or 50 years, we all went to global, right? We took all of our stuff, we moved it to the markets that it needed to go into. And now we're going to like try to consolidate some of those things back down. And you know, these things, while change, don't have an actual persona, right? They're not good or bad. So I was talking to my son the other day. He's like, oh, this sounds like it's, you know, it's going to be a bad thing. And I'm like, they're not good or bad, right? There's no associated, you know, ethical value to these things. They're just change. And so if you can separate yourself from trying to classify something as black or white or good or bad or whatever your diatomically opposed things are, it's a lot easier to focus in on what that change is and how it affects you or the people around you or what to do. And then you can come up with a plan for how to address it.
Yeah, absolutely. How to respond rather than react. Absolutely. Great. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Matt. I really appreciate the conversation. For our listeners, we do have some more resources on this topic. We've gathered the experiences of people across the industry and how they approach taking care of their mental health. So we put an ebook together. So we'll go ahead and link to that in the show notes. It's called Creating Safe Spaces. And also stay tuned for a Beers with Talos podcast coming out soon. We're going to have a longer conversation about this topic and share more of our experiences. So stay tuned for that. With that, thank you, Matt, and thank you for listening to Talos Takes.
Thank you, Angel.